It's time for The Local Beat with the Chronicle Telegram's Dave O'Brien. The Local Beat brought to you by Vandemark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. As we do each week, let's welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, Rocco. I'm doing all right.
Great to hear, man. Great to hear, as always. And I wanted to start with a nice article that you had earlier this week talking about potential replacements for Senator Rob Portman. As we know by now, he announced he will not be seeking that additional term in Congress. He'll be calling it a day there. So, what kind of names could we see potentially replacing Senator Portman, and are there any local names tied to that?
Well, this is this is going to be a heavily a heavily contested race. No matter who gets into it, for right now. According to a lot of the sources that I talked to yesterday for this story, and as well as just the general conventional wisdom, throughout Facebook and Twitter and out there in out there in the land of politics reporters, basically it's looking to be that the current Congressman Jim Jordan is the favorite to run for the Republicans. Of course, that constitutes as many Democratic operatives have noted, a distinct run to the right, as they say, for that seat. Portman always generally considered to be a relatively moderate Republican. Now that's obviously up for debate. We're not here to debate that today. But I think, based on what I heard from Lorain County Republican Party Chairman David Arredondo yesterday, it's Jordan's race to lose. He has the national headlines. He's got recognition. He's well thought of in conservative Republican circles. So he's the one kind of tops that list of Republicans to replace the 65-year-old Portman. He's been a senator since 2010. Also, you're going to see some names bandied about. Jim Renacci, who's currently the Medina County Republican Party chairman. He was a former U.S. rep, mayor of Wadsworth. You also get some names thrown in there, state level Republicans like Secretary of State LaRose, Lieutenant Governor Husted, Attorney General Dave Yost, former State Treasurer Josh Mandel, who hasn't been in office for a couple of years. Some other minor players might be U.S. Rep Bill Johnson, who represents a significant portion of southeastern Ohio in Congress. Also, author J.D. Vance of Hillbilly Elegy fame is apparently, I believe he lives down in Cincinnati, and that's another kind of dark horse candidate. And also, you might hear some people talking about Jane Timken, who's the chair of the Ohio Republican Party right now, former Kent State University trustee, married into the Timken family, a lot of money kind of backing her as well as a possibility. On the Democratic side, Tim Ryan, as people might know, is a 10-term congressman from the Mahoning Valley. He's got a decent national profile. He's represented parts of eastern Ohio for like I said, about 10 terms at this point. And then as you heard, Nan Whaley being the mayor of Dayton, she's got a decent national profile as well. A little less well known maybe than Ryan, but she's an up and comer. Kind of in the Democratic Party for maybe a statewide or national seat. Rich Cordray got mentioned as well. Former Ohio Attorney General. He was a Democratic gubernatorial candidate in 2018. Chief of the U.S. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So there's fewer. It seems to be there's fewer Democrats whose names have kind of been thrown in there. Again, like I said, Nina Turner said yesterday she wasn't interested. I talked to Anthony Giordini, who's the chair of the Lorain County Democratic Party, and he said, Tim Ryan and Nan Whaley are kind of the top two names, the names that are at the top of the list. As well, there might be some southern or southeastern Ohio Democrats who are again kind of dark horses who might get into the race.
Well, very, very interesting there. So it sounds like we got some somewhat clear-cut front runners, I guess, on each side. But as you mentioned there, Dave, it could certainly, you know, some dark horse candidates getting their names in there, and will certainly be interesting to see what happens with that Senate seat there. So another thing I wanted to touch on here with you on the local beat is this kind of battle over CARES Act funding with the Lorain County Commissioners. Obviously, this start to the new year with a bit of a shift there with the commissioners. Some things have happened, and again, this CARES Act funding kind of at the center of a lot of that. So what are the latest details with all of that, Dave?
So if you'll recall earlier this month, the two Republican commissioners on the Lorain County Board of Commissioners rescinded some CARES Act funding that had been done by their predecessors, by the board that was three Democrats on the board back in, you know, towards the end of the year. Last year, after the Democrats having been in power for quite some time, you know, three Democrats on the board for at least the better part of two decades there, and Republicans David Moore, Michelle Hung said they were concerned that perhaps their Democratic predecessors had spent general fund money, which is meant for the general operations of the county, you know, part of the multi-million-dollar Lorain County budget, had spent that on grants to nonprofits and other organizations that were doing some community service work, sheltering the homeless and feeding the hungry and things like that. So there were concerns about about the legality, the propriety of that money being spent in that way. Now, Commissioner Matt Lundy, who's the lone Democrat on the board right now, said it was proper. It was done properly under the rules that were in place at the time for that federal money that came down to the county level and was then spent. It's basically, my thoughts on it are it's basically going to take an audit by the state to determine whether or not it was properly spent, whether or not all of that was properly done. But there's still a bit of fighting going on about that. And we might hear some more at the commissioner's meeting tomorrow. About this particular issue, that meeting at 9:30, you can find it on YouTube or at the Lorain County official Lorain County website. You can watch that happen because that's all obviously not open to the public right now due to the coronavirus pandemic. So we'll learn a bit more about that. You know, there's some you know political shenanigans being alleged here by the Republicans. You know. On one side, saying the Democrats did some things that were politically expedient for them and in order to harm the incoming Republicans. And whether or not that's true, I mean, that's difficult to determine. So basically, there's some disappointment, that money didn't get spent the way that the previous board intended. And the new board came in and said, we're changing things up. We're going to switch some of this out. And because that money hasn't been spent yet, we're going to pull it back. So that fight continues. I think it will probably continue for some time, and we'll report more at ChronicleT.com or in the Chronicle Telegram, print edition.
Well, and you guys have been all over it. I give you guys a lot of credit so far since the beginning of the new year. Again, with that CARES Act funding, with the commissioners sort of changing things there, you guys at the Chronicle have been all over that, Dave. So kudos to you and all of your colleagues there. So that transitioned smoothly, actually, right into my next question for you. On top of maybe some additional stuff from that Lorain County Commissioners meeting Wednesday morning here, what other kind of stuff could we expect from you and your colleagues at the Chronicle this week?
Well, obviously, tomorrow we'll be continuing our pandemic coverage. We had a community protection team meeting, a short community protection team meeting today online with county and business and hospital officials. That I'll be writing about that in tomorrow's Chronicle Telegram. So make sure to get your paper in the morning or check out ChronicleT.com. And my colleagues as well doing some work about talking about vaccines with Health Commissioner Dave Cobble, and also, we'll see what else comes up in the next couple hours, before our deadline hits.
All about the vaccines these days as we keep waiting for those to, continue to roll into the state. Gotta have them. So that brings us to the final portion of the interview here, Dave. As we close each and every week out, what do you have for me in the way of a scanner story?
Well, Rocco, you and I talked about this a little bit before I got on the air here, but I'm going to give you something again from our friends over at NeoScan on Twitter, NEO_scan. Dateline Brooklyn, Ohio, disturbance at a burrito chain restaurant, a female requesting police to the restaurant to mitigate a dispute with the manager reference paying for additional rice.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Of all the concerns amidst a global pandemic, right, Dave? And we're over here fighting over paying for extra rice or not. Come on. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dave, thank you for the scanner story. Entertaining as always, albeit a bit disappointing this week with the behavior of some, but entertaining nonetheless. And thank you for filling us in with what you got going on at the Chronicle Telegram the rest of this week. And I look forward to catching up again with you next week, my man.
Sounds good, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.